Oh my God, Santa Claus, you look incredible. I can't believe it. What have you been doing? What's that? You've been using NTT Fitness pre-made healthy meals to lose weight during the holiday season? Oh my God. I can't believe it, dude. You look incredible. And you used my code, LevelUp15. You got 15% off your first order? That's amazing. You look fantastic, dude. You've been hitting the gym, I see. You're tightening up. Mrs. Claus must be super happy. You're going to leave her for another woman, aren't you? Look, I understand. You're looking good. You're feeling good. NTTFitness.com. Check it out. You're going to love it. Level up 15. Use that code, the homemade broadcast code, to get 15% off your first order. Don't get fat during the holidays. All right. Let's start the show.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
Beach Drive, Rob Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this broadcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the Homemade Broadcast.
The what podcast?
The Homemade Broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade Broadcast.
The Homemade Podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This is right here, that homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5.
4, 3, 2, 1. Homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. My name is Will Koontz. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Good Kwanzaa. Is Ramadan now? I don't know. If it is, happy that. Last full podcast of the year. What a weird year it's been. All 15 of you that continuously listen to this, thank you. Not a lot of growth this year. It's weird. Like, you think, like, oh, I'm a radio personality now. I have legitimacy. A real-life radio station has allowed me to get on their airwaves 5 nights a week. Granted, it's in the middle of the night. But still, pretty good. And that just, slow growth is good. It is good. But, man, I thought, oh, geez, once I got, on the radio and I'm real deal, legitimized, then it's going to start really taking off. Nah, not really. But that's okay. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Will Koontz. This is the final show, at least the final full-length episode of the Homemade Broadcast in 2019. I am battling a ear or a sinus infection right now. I have no health insurance. I'm trying to get an answer out of when I did have health insurance briefly with Obamacare. Trying to get a hold of that doctor, see how much it would cost to go see him if I just pay in cash. And I got an answer. I sent an email to the office, and I got an answer of, well, it depends. It could cost anywhere between $50 or $250. Well, that's a wide range, don't you think? And I haven't got a, I said, well, I can do $50. That's fine. I can do that. $250, no, I can't do that. And they haven't gotten back to me yet. I just need a script for antibiotics. I don't know how much antibiotics are going to cost, but, you know, hopefully I get a Christmas bonus to subside, at least pays for the antibiotics that I need desperately. My eyes are watering. My eye is watering. My eye is got some, not pussing, not to get gross here, but it's doing something that it shouldn't be doing. It's watering like a madman. My ear hurts. I'm blowing blood out of my nose, and there's nothing I can do about it. You know, usually I can, you know, you just shake it off, but I guess every once in a while you just get something you can't shake, and it's been weeks of this, and it's only getting worse. And there's nothing I can do about it. And then I go, you know what? Maybe Bernie Sanders is right. Maybe Bernie Sanders is right. It'd be nice to be able to go to a goddamn doctor to get some basic antibiotics. Have the rich people pay for it. They got the money. Art Basel was this week. Some man bought a banana that was duct taped to a wall for $100-something thousand. And they go, yeah, maybe you got too much money. Maybe you do have too much money. Maybe that's true. Now, I guess the money went to the artist, but, you know, who knows if that artist is rich? Probably not at those events. They're all poor, too. So good for them. Got $100,000. I heard somebody stole the banana, and then somebody ate the banana that was taped to it, or the guy that bought it ate it or something, and then somebody sabotaged the exhibit, which was just a banana, you know, duct taped to a wall. But somebody sabotaged the exhibit and wrote Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, which is really funny. Still going on. That's happening. The world's falling apart. It's a Christmas time. It's the end of the year. Things are falling apart. Jeffrey Epstein's dead. It's not going to expose any of the people that needed to be exposed. And the powerful will remain elite. And they'll be able to go to the doctor. They'll be able to get antibiotics. You know, no problem. No problem at all. They'll have people killed, for God's sakes. And they'll be able to get antibiotics. What a world we live in. I do have some HMB. I got some really nice Stay Woke stickers and HMB radio stickers made. That's where I invest, and that's where I put my money, because I don't need antibiotics, I thought. I won't need them. Instead, I'll buy these stickers with this little bit of extra money that I had to give the people for nothing, for free. So if you want some, you know, take advantage of it. I'll mail them to you. I won't go to your house, I swear to God. I won't rob your home. But I will send you some high-quality stickers that you can throw away later. You'll find them in your drawer, and you'll throw them away. I never throw away stickers, though. I feel like those are always a good keepsake. Even if you don't use them, you hold on to them. You think, maybe I'll stick these on something at some point. But they're really nice. And if you listen to this podcast, let me do what I can to thank you for doing so. So send me your address. Slip into my DMs. home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. I do have a Facebook, HMB Radio. You can find it. And follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio STPETE on Instagram and Twitter. And RadioSt.Pete.com on Facebook. What a year it's been. My gosh. So much has happened. Most of it nobody cares about. Most of it's too wrapped up in their own lives. It's hard to blame them. You know, that's you. That's what you're concerned about. I get it. The thing I saw this week that was super annoying was there's this movie Richard Jewell that's coming out, which is based on the 1996 Atlanta bombing, where the press pretty much smeared this poor man and condemned him before he went through a court of law. And there's a big hubbub because Clint Eastwood directed this movie, and I guess in the movie he took creative license with a certain reporter that worked at some paper in Atlanta, Constitutional or something, I don't know, and implied that she gave sex out for tips on the case, and I guess that wasn't completely true. And I just saw journalists all over Twitter freaking out about this because, as we know, they are the real victims here. As far as I know, the Atlanta, what is it? The Atlanta Constitution. I don't know what that paper. Let me look it up so I just don't start rambling about Atlanta. The Atlanta Constitution. Okay, this is the paper that covered the Richard Jewell thing. As far as I know, they were the only paper. An outlet, Richard Jewell won a bunch of money from CNN. He ended up passing away not too long ago, I guess a couple years ago now. But the Atlanta Constitutional was the only news outlet not to apologize for their coverage of the Richard Jewell and Atlanta bombing. Instead, they waited him out. They took one look at him. They go, this guy's going to have a heart attack. Sure enough, they were right. So they never paid out for their smear campaign that they carried out against this man. I didn't see the movie, so I don't really know too much about it. But as we know, as I talked about a lot this year, reporting, media, journalism is in peril right now. It's completely run by ideologues of certain political persuasions, and it's a mess. I saw the IG report on the Russian probe this week. Some outlets were saying this proved that the FBI had some malfeasance with their investigations, and then other outlets said that the FBI was completely exonerated of these malfeasances that they were accused of. So it's and same thing with the Trump stuff. The president is in impeachment now. You know, the Russian probe said Trump said I'm exonerated, and then other outlets said nope, you're guilty. Didn't say you were exonerated. We can't agree on basic, simple facts. The world is collapsing. Civilization is collapsing. We're breaking off into tribes of our own where you stand politically. And maybe that's a good thing. I think it might be time for the United States just to break up. Let's break up. Let's go into individual states. People can move to wherever their political persuasion is. They can believe their own truth. There is no truth anymore. Nobody can agree on anything. So what's it matter at this point? But I mean, even here, I think he muted me though on Twitter. But Colin Wolf from Creative Loafing, he's an ass. Most of the things, 80% of the things that he puts out, I go, holy crap. The framing on here is just immaculate. I mean, holy crap. I can't believe that, that this is released. And it's just some stupid idiot that works for, you know, a stupid daily or what do you call it, weekly. Mag, Creative Loafing, that's just garbage outside. They do a really good job on culture stuff, but their any sort of political reporting is just nonsense. It's just ideologues writing whatever they want, talking about how awesome it is that, you know, Matt Gaetz got a milkshake thrown at him and, you know, how great that is. Now, God forbid, I don't think this kid has ever been in a fight in his entire life, he looks like. But, you know, yeah, go ahead and assault people. That's good because you don't agree with what they're saying. And we learned that this year. I learned a lot about that, about journalistic attitudes and their belief system of how these people operate and how they work. I learned a lot about that. And I also just learned, you know, it's easy on the national scale, right? Because there's obvious just, I don't know, I want to curse, but I can't curse, or I shouldn't curse. I can curse. This is a podcast. I could curse. But BS. Just everybody's got their own point of view, and that's what they're rolling with. They will not be convinced otherwise. You're not going to convince anybody. Really, they have their own point of view. They have their sources that they go to. They got their outlets that they trust, and one's looking at a 6, one's looking at a 9, and they're seeing the same thing, but completely getting completely different outcomes off this thing. But even like local stuff, like I know this dude who writes for this really small online outlet. He's a comedian in the area. I've hung out with him a few times. Nice guy. And he covers comedy in the area. And there was one article he put out about this dude who I think has autism or something. Not saying that as a slur. I'm just saying there's something going on with him. Not trying to trash the person. I'm just saying, you know, I'm using it as an adjective here. And in the article, I read it. I like to keep up with what's going on here in the local comedy scene. And I'm reading the article, and this, I've seen this person. I used to run open mics for years. And I've never seen this person at one of my mics. I've seen him at the Improv a few times. And that's about it. And I just seen him on social media and stuff. Talk about his, but I was like, oh, well, he's got, you know, he's on the spectrum. So I don't know. It's, just, you know, a hobby of his or whatever. But this guy put out an article a couple months ago. And it's about, you know, all these cool things that this guy is doing. I'm going, no, he's not. Like, that's just not true. Like, I know when you write about something, you got to spice it up a little bit. You got to pep it up. You know, use some words to bring some heat. But it was talking about this project that this kid's doing. It has a cult following. Cult following in this case means doesn't exist. It's just not a real thing. And it's about Full House. And it's a scary take, a horror take on Full House where, you know, Uncle Jesse murders everybody. And I'm never seen this. I'm trying to find it. And it's talking about it in the article. It's got a cult following and it really built up steam over the past few years. But I've never seen this ever. And then a quick Google search returns nothing. There's no, this doesn't exist, this article. Or this project, it doesn't exist. It might exist on Facebook, and it has like 16 group members in it, and I don't have access to it. It's not public. It's a private group. That's the only thing I found about this project. And meanwhile, this guy is hyping this dude up like he's somebody. Like he's doing stuff in the community. It's not a thing. It's not real. I mean, and anybody who cares enough and nobody cares. So I get it. Like, nobody's going to look this up except me because I'm probably on the spectrum too. So I'm going, okay, well, I didn't know about this. I want to check it out. Sounds interesting. And then you go and look it up and it's not even there. So this guy is not doing anybody justice by writing about things that just don't exist. Well, what's going on? You can't just do that. I mean, he's not a journalist. I get it. Nor is that Colin Wolf idiot. I wouldn't call them journalists. They're just proprietors of, they got this position and they're going to use this platform to spread their narrative. That's what they're going to do. And I guess, you know, they don't hold a lot of power or anything. Nobody really reads any of this stuff, but I mean, I do. And anybody who cares at all can just fact check this stuff themselves. But nobody's going to do that. I get it. But what a disservice to your readers that you do have. There's just no sort of accountability, no obligation, I guess, to your readers to tell them, to be a reporter, to tell them what's going on. But once you get a platform, then you're just like, I'm just gonna say what I wanna say. I'm gonna steer the ship into what do I need to say in order to get these people to do what I want. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. Please check that out. Follow me on social media at @home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. And follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa. TRUV is in victory. Y, salonandspa.com. Holiday parties are here. You know, you're going to have to go home. You're going to have to go to your work party. You're going to need to look your best. And really, a haircut really does a number. It's the number one thing you can do. Ladies, you can do your makeup, but your hair can really set off an outfit. I'm telling you. You know it. I know it. So get your hair cut. Get it colored. Get it done at Truvy Salon and Spa. Right here in St. Petersburg, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, in St. Pete. Make your appointment today. Get it done. Outshine your boss. Make them look bad. Look your best. Embarrass people. That's what the season is about. TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioSaintPete.com.
So I think we're gonna shut the podcast down for the rest of the year. The 15 people that listen to this, I'm sorry, but I don't know. I think what I might do is put together some best of clips from maybe Stay Woke or something and release them as a podcast over the next few weeks. So that way you have something you can listen to, as Radio St. Pete will have something, and I won't feel like a piece of crap. Probably definitely that week of Christmas, there'll be nothing. But probably next week, you know, expect maybe some sort of best of episode. I need to heal myself. I need to get rid of this sinus infection. I need to get some sleep. You know, I mean, I want to get drunk. I want to drink all week long during Christmas. That's the plan. That's when you do it. It makes the holiday so much more enjoyable. So I think, yeah, I think probably next week will be some clips from Stay Woke, but it'll be released as a homemade broadcast. And then week of Christmas, nothing. And then New Year. And then we'll come back fresh in 2020 and kind of, you know, get back on track, go right back into it. So the 15 of you that are here, you know, please stick around. Don't go anywhere. Tell a friend about it, man. Tell some people, you know. Retweet the podcast, home_made_man on Twitter. Word of mouth is the best form of advertising. Subscribe. You know, I've been putting out, I really haven't been doing it the past few weeks, and that's only because it's just been too crazy. You know, it's a holiday season. Everybody's checking out. But I'm going to get back to putting up Friday podcasts as well, the HMB sides. And those will only be available at hmbradio.com and on the podcast feed. So subscribe, HMB Radio, all one word. And that way you'll get those podcasts. You won't miss anything. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to the break. I'm sure you are, too. I'm looking forward to the death of 2019, and we'll celebrate 2020. 2020 is such a weird year. Like, that is the future. That's crazy to think about. When I thought about 2020, I didn't. I mean, as a kid growing up, that was just so, that was way, way away. And now it's here. This is like stuff you see in sci-fi movies, you know, that year. It's crazy. It's wild to think about, and I'm so frightened and also excited to see what that year will bring. Could bring the destruction of all mankind. I don't know. Maybe we'll finally get, you know, nuclear fusion, and we'll get free energy, and we won't have to burn Saudi oil anymore, and we can tell those people, you know what, you guys go do your thing. We don't need your oil anymore. We're not going to sell you weapons of mass destruction anymore, and be well. Be well. Goodbye. And we can all live in peace and harmony. I sure hope so. And let's close out 2019's last full podcast with a clip from Stay Woke. Stay Woke is a radio program that I host with my friend Anna Hummel, or co-host with my friend Anna Hummel. She sits in seat one. I'm her co-host. We talked a little bit about toxic masculinity this week. So let's play that clip and chat a little bit about it. You can listen to Stay Woke every weeknight at midnight on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. TheBoneOnline.com. You can listen live, or you can get the Bone app, because you can get Stay Woke on demand whenever you want it on that app, as well as all the other great Bone programming, including Marconi nominee Mike Calta, Roger and JP, Drew Garabo Live. You got the Soul Brother Kevin Show and the Johnny B Show, which I'm on 3 or 4 days a week now as well, from 9 to midnight. So let's check out this clip. Let's talk some toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity, Will. Let's do a little bit of, what do you call it, word association. What are some words that come to mind when I say the term toxic masculinity?
That's
all I need, just a sigh.
Yeah.
Okay, sigh. What else?
That's one of those things. I mean, to me, it's just not phony, but what is it? Like, really, what is it? And I don't really know. It seems to me it's just being masculine is toxic masculinity now.
But like, let's unpack it a little further. Like, what do you think when they talk about toxic masculinity? What is it exactly in terms of like the qualities that males typically possess that they find to be toxic? Maybe it's the aggression. Maybe it's the, I think a lot of it has to do with like domineering over women.
Yes.
Which happens. It doesn't not happen.
Perceived anyways, yeah.
Okay.
There's the patriarchal system that's set up that's actively suppressing
trying to
women.
Hold down, yeah.
I don't know what the F they're talking about in the world we live in today.
Right.
But, you know, I suppose throughout history, yes, that probably was the case.
Mm-hmm.
But not now. I mean, women.
But is
are...
that partially because there's been a movement of progression with like pushing
sure. I mean, equality. Feminism has definitely helped with that, right, to help bring.
And is it possible to push along equality without sort of demonizing masculinity and maleness in general? Here's a little bit of the clip I was watching this morning on CBS News. Monday. Well, they only do CBS News Saturday. But anyways, here we go.
That come with parenting boys today as a society's idea, as society's idea, rather, of masculinity changes.
With Ryu growing up, he would wear dresses occasionally, you know, and want his nails painted. He was wearing his hair up in sort of a little samurai ponytail. When he was on his way to school and they dropped me off at work, and before I got out of the car, when I was getting out and hugs and kisses, and I said, hey, bud, I just want you to know, I love your hair. I think it's so cool. But kids at school might not understand, and they might say something about it. And he got this look, like he just crestfallen, just done. And he took it out, and he wouldn't wear it. But it was...
Say your son, that you don't have, but hypothetically, decided to wear his hair in a ponytail and go to school, which is kind of like a cool thing now. I feel like a lot of boys have long hair. I see that all the time. Would that bother you? Would you say something? Would you force your kid to cut his hair? I mean, you had long hair for a long time.
Yeah, I had long hair, and you know, my dad had long hair, you know, during that time. So no, I don't think that would be a big deal.
But what about the painting of the nails, wearing dresses occasionally?
I think that's, you know, I would say I would let him do whatever he wanted.
Nice. Okay.
To do.
I like that.
But I would also, I agree with this guy. Like, hey, just so you know, you're going to set yourself up for, you know, that's a exposure that you might not want, and people are going to notice, and people might say things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's I think that's fair. I think that's being a good dad.
Yeah,
just letting
preparing.
Them know. Yeah,
preparing
just like
them.
Hey man, just heads up. You know, looking out for your.
I completely agree with that. You're on Stay Woke. Who's this?
Hey, this is Justin from Lakeland.
What's up, Justin?
Hey, when you said toxic masculinity, the first thing that popped in my mind was that Gillette commercial that had all the controversy,
They
were basically shaming little boys for being boys, kind of, and some people said, well, they were trying to say men need to be a role model and tell children, little boys, how to, you know, not give in to their masculinity because it's toxic, almost like there's something wrong with being a man, which I think is just bullcrap.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think anything that's unbridled, like if we look at the worst parts of, let's say, femininity and the worst parts of masculinity, worst parts of femininity, let me try to think, maybe like being manipulative or something like that, being deceptive. Not that that's like specific to women, but I'm thinking about someone who's really like gossipy, tries to take advantage of a lot of other people, not in an aggressive way, but in a conniving sort of way. And with men, I think like the worst sort of quality, if I'm thinking about toxic masculinity, would be unbridled aggression. Now, aggression, if channeled, can be a great thing, I think. You know, you can be a great leader. You can be a great, whether it be, you know, a athlete or something like that. It gives you a lot of energy. It gives you a lot of drive. But I think when it's unbridled and when you're not controlling it, that's when it becomes problematic. And I don't think that has to do with masculinity at all. That just has to do with discipline. Discipline and having good parenting, right?
And I absolutely agree.
How to channel that aggression.
The thing that I would add to that is toxic masculinity is no more a problem than toxic femininity.
Sure, which isn't even a term that people use. Like, it's not even a thing, and it should be, because women are, you know, bitches too, much like men are. You know, there's douchebags
and
there's bitches.
And I don't think toxicity is just solely limited to one gender. I think it transcends all genders. It's you have some bad people, you have some good people, but you can't just say that being a man and being masculine is bad and being a female and being too feminine is bad. I think there's just bad apples in both genders.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were saying during the documentary that a lot of times girls are encouraged to do more like masculine type activity, whether it be sports or whatnot, playing with cars or whatever, maybe puzzles, whatever we think of more as like a male dominant or boys dominant sort of activity. Whereas it in the other way, it's usually frowned upon. Like boys are not supposed to be playing with dolls. Boys are not supposed to be wearing dresses. Boys are not supposed to be, you know, in ballet class. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's it's obviously more acceptable for girls to do boy type things and not the other way around.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, if you, I mean, just look at like the famous Russian ballet guy Baryshnikov.
Yeah, he was banging Sarah Jessica Parker.
I mean, so it's I don't think. I mean, obviously, there's some things that in society you say that you can most likely attribute to something that, that more women would do than men. I mean, mm-hmm. there's more women that wear makeup than men.
Sure.
But look at Hollywood actors. They wear makeup for their roles. Look at newscasters.
Sure.
They're wearing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that there's a place for everything, and you can't just solely say, hey, this is only acceptable for a man to do, or this is only acceptable for a woman to do. I think people, you know, do whatever they choose, and there's a right way to do things for everyone and a wrong way to do things for everyone, because everyone's an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that changes based on the person. But
right.
you shouldn't just be like, well, I'm not going to do this because this is something that I just shouldn't do because I'm a man or because I'm
right.
a woman.
Right.
I think that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't like using the term toxic masculinity, because you're just, like you said, you're assuming that everything that is male or male specific is somehow toxic or bad or wrong. And that surely should not be the case. Thank you so much for calling in, Justin. We appreciate it.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good one. I want to hear what people think about stoicism, where boys are often told that they shouldn't cry, that they should, you know, not act like a little girl, not kind of showcase how they're feeling when it comes to any sort of like sensitive emotions. I don't want to say that boys don't show emotions, because they're allowed certain emotions. They're allowed to be angry. You can be angry, and that's clearly an emotion.
I don't know. I feel like that would be, these people who talk about toxic masculinity would say that anger is a negative trait of being
sure,
male.
But I'm saying that when we talk about the, traditionally how boys were raised, say before this whole toxic masculinity sort of wave, and they're told don't be emotional, they're told to not have certain emotions. Anger is not one. Anger, you can be angry. You can be aggressive. You can, you know, you can get in a fight if someone picks on you. Those sorts of things were often encouraged. Not anymore so much. But, you know, back in the day, even just 10 years ago, I would say it was like, yeah, be a man. You know, don't cry. But, you know, if someone picks on you, punch them in the face sort of a thing.
Yeah.
So men are just as emotional as women, but different emotions, I would
right.
say. But how do we feel about stoicism? I think I know how you feel about this, Will, but if you want to tell us again about telling boys not to cry, to toughen up, and should we be offering that same advice to girls, or should it be different?
I think the culture needs to toughen up quite a bit. Men and women need
like
to toughen
that.
Up quite a bit. I think that there's a lot of push to say that a lot of these things, like what men are perceived as being more stoic than women, and that's structural, that this was created by, I guess, people in power, the patriarchy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this stuff is just nature. Like, that is how, it's not set up. It just kind of evolved that way over us trying to survive.
But do you think it's exaggerated by society? I would argue that's probably the case. Like, there's definitely natural inclinations, but I would say that it's exacerbated or exaggerated by society. So it's like girls.
How so, though?
Like, maybe girls have more of a propensity to be emotional and cry and be sensitive.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, you have society telling boys, do not cry. So they're less likely to cry, but then they feel like now that they can't cry at all, sort of a thing. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. And I know we kind of talked about this last week a little bit about men who cry.
Right.
If it would be unattracted to you if you saw a man cry, and you said, I think you said that it would depend on the situation. But no, it would be fine if, you know, he was talking about his mother that died and cried. You would find it endearing mm-hmm. because he would show vulnerability to
yes.
you.
Yeah.
I kind of, like, in that situation, yeah, maybe if it's a partner you've been with, like a wife or something that you're married to. But if it's just like, you know, some girl that you're trying to court or something like that, and you start crying, to me, that would be a red alert for, I think a woman would not really be into that, because I think women do expect, you know, part of your job is to be a protector.
Mm-hmm.
To because, you know, I'm sorry, but women have less muscle mass than men do. You're weaker physically than, sorry, I mean, it's true. You're just mad kidding. At Jesus. Again, you got to talk to Jesus about this stuff. Mm. Or Allah or whoever. I didn't do it. But it's just, it's a fact of the matter. And in, you know, we evolved to men were kind of the protector of the tribe. And it was their job. Men are disposable. You know, women have the power to create life with their bodies, with their little eggs. And it could be an ugly baby, but still can make more.
Still counts.
Men are kind of disposable. You know, you don't really, you know, you need men, but you can have any man. You know, the eggs are more valuable and they can carry the life. So these things, like, I'm sorry, ladies, but this is just how it is. And it's not a system that was set up. It's just you need to talk to Jesus.
Talk
you need
to talk to
if you have a problem with it. It's not toxic to be a man.
No, but can I tell you who I think is really good, and he's not trying to be a role model for this, but he is, at least I think so, is Joe Rogan. Mm. Because Joe Rogan is, like, the manliest of men. Like, guys love, I mean, I love Rogan, obviously, but men love Rogan. He talks about it. He's super curious. He's a fighter. He did Fear Factor. He's a comedian. He's funny. He's smart. He's curious. He has, like, all these great qualities. He hunts, but he's also really understanding, and he'll have vegans on his show, and he asks them questions. I've seen Rogan cry on his show. I mean, he's done a couple thousand episodes, but I've seen him cry on his show at least 5 or 6 times when he's talking to someone who is, like, especially if it, I remember this one time he's talking to a Green Beret that lost, like, 2 legs and, like, a testicle, and saw his brothers die in battle. Like, Joe was brought to tears. He was brought to tears when he was talking about Anthony Bourdain. I think there was one time when he got drunk and he was talking to Tom Segura, and they both started crying about just, like, thinking about their success and the come up. And, you know, I think a lot of Tom Segura's success relied on Joe Rogan, like, being like, come on tour with me, buddy. Like, you're talented. Let's get you out there. So that sort of thing. And I think that that is a great sort of role model, even though he's not trying to be, but showing that he is a badass MF-er, but he can be sensitive and he can cry, and no one is calling Joe Rogan a pussy. That's for sure. You know? So,
yeah. And I mean, there are times and places for it, but I think that men and women need to toughen up. We need to stop crying so much.
I can agree with that. Well, I don't want to say not crying. I say you can cry, but you got to keep moving.
Not about everything, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, I cry a lot, but in silence and in, I'm sorry, in private is what I'm saying. But it helps me kind of, like, if I'm feeling tired or something, like I told you, kind of gives me an endorphin rush. It makes me feel, kind of, like, cleanses my body. But again, that's just me. But in general, like, don't cry and weep and not do anything. You can cry, but you got to keep moving. It's my sort of thing. Don't feel like you're the victim. You can cry. Let it out. It's just an expression. It's just an emotion. Let it wash over you and keep moving.
Yeah, we just have such a currency in being, you know, a victim is so powerful because people are very empathetic and they feel like they don't want people to feel bad.
No.
So we try to cater to these people. And what it is, I think, is a lot of these people have a they know this fact and they exploit it. So when they get upset and start hooting and hollering, they're not wrong. Mm. There was an injustice there. But does the response to it, is it appropriate to what, how severe the injustice? It tends to be just blown way out of proportion.
Yes, I agree
with that. And then you go, well, you're not wrong, but you know, you're being a little, oh, I'm being great. And you go, it's just like you can't win. And then they know, because it's an easy way to win an argument. Just by freaking out.
All right, there we go. Stay Woke Midnights 102.5. The Bone online. .com. Make sure you get the app, 102.5 The Bone, in your app store. Follow me on social media, Instagram and Twitter at @home_made_man. And follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE. Facebook, HMB Radio for me, RadioSt.Pete.com for Radio St. Pete. Follow 102.5 The Bone, too. Why not? Do it. And with that, folks, we're going to check out. I'm checking out. This is the last live podcast of 2019. It's gone. The year's gone. It's dead. But we'll be back in 2020 next week. I'm going to put out some sort of compilation for you. So there's something. And then the week of Christmas will be out and probably be back the following week after that. Take a few weeks off. So enjoy the holiday. Enjoy the new year. Enjoy being with your friends and family. Love them. Have them love you. Exchange gifts. Buy yourself something. Splurge a little bit. This is the time to do it. Thanks for hanging out with me this year. I do appreciate it, all 15 of you. Yes, thank you very much. Get your stickers. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com or my DMs, home_made_man. Send me your address, and I'll send some out to you. I hope you have a great Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Ramadan. I don't know if that's this. I'm sorry. I don't know if it's the appropriate time, but I'm trying, okay? Want to be inclusive here of everybody. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. And if you are listening on podcast, thank you. I hope you have a good day and a good life. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. I will talk to you in 2020. Goodbye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.